All right, and I am going to mute everyone, and I'm going to mute everyone and lay down, you know, like just, you know, let you know how we run these town hall meetings. All right. Okay, brothers and sisters, thank you for coming on the call. My name is Brother Lou. This is another weekly Black Wallace United Town Hall meeting. We have them every week, Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The purpose of these calls are to bring together groups of brothers and sisters who are concerned about the state of affairs in the Black community and want to discuss solutions. So we talk about problems, but we try to summarize with solutions. So before we get into it, let me just give you a little outline of how we like to manage these calls. So we address each other as brother and sister out of respect and out of a show of solidarity. We don't discuss religion, right, because we have people here who have different religious beliefs, Muslims, Christians, Israelites, and things like that. All we are concerned with is the fact that you are Black and you are concerned about the state of affairs in the Black community and you want to do something. So if we can agree on that, then that's fine. We don't discuss the male and female dynamic because that's opinion-based. You can feel how you feel about the way relationships go. Someone else can feel another one, and it'll be a never-ending debate because everyone's reality reflects something different. We don't discuss political party affiliation, so Democrats, Republicans, independents, we don't discuss that. But we do discuss politics as it pertains to Black people in America and how we can use the political system to improve our current situation. So in summary, so for all the new people that are on, in summary, Black Wallets Matter is a movement that believes the only way the Black community, we are a group of brothers and sisters that believe the only way the Black community is going to fix its own problem is if it starts using the power of the Black dollars. And those are Black dollars that we already have. So that includes boycotting businesses that don't respect our patronage, that is buying and or creating more Black businesses, that is supporting Black businesses, that is hiring lawyers and lobbyists in Washington to protect and enforce our civil rights and funding our own social projects, such as community resource centers, where we're able to teach our youth, give them a different paradigm of what it means to be Black, right? So we want to teach them that they need to have pride and they need to have integrity and things like that, right? One of the topics that we were going to discuss tonight was youth violence, but Sister Bonnie, she was cut off last week. She brought to the floor, we were discussing Black businesses. And so I want to open up the discussion for the sister. And so basically how that works is I will unmute her microphone, unmute her phone. She'll pose her idea or, you know, whatever. And then you guys can press *6 on the phone when it gets when I put it in Q&A mode. And you can comment or ask questions or provide possible solutions to what it is that she's talking about. Okay, so with that in mind and ready to go, Sister Bonnie, hold on. Here we go, sister.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Good evening, everybody.
Well, they can't respond, but
I know they can't, but that's okay. I just want them to know I'm greeting everybody. We had discussed, Brother Lou and I, this Black Wall Street challenge and Black Wall Street and what we need to do to rebuild that. And there's a lot of Black businesses out there, a lot of them. Some of them may be in your area, some of them may not. But they, the most of them, they do have websites, and there are websites where you can go. There's a marketplace where you can go that has a lot of Black businesses listed. One of them is True Laundry Detergent. They make it, they bottle it, they sell it, and it's cheaper than what you get at Walmart. So that's just something I wanted to throw out there. But from what I've read, it's good stuff. There are a number of places that you can go for a listing of black businesses. I don't think they're all on the same listing, but you're going to find a great variety of businesses. And it doesn't matter what kind of business it is, they're out there. They are out there, and they're right here. Some of them are African businesses. Some of them are black businesses here in the state. Some of them are in Africa. However, there's still businesses. I think I found one in England. So these are the businesses that, as much as we possibly can, I would say we should be patronizing these businesses as much as possible. Now, I've got a list of some of the directories where you can find this, some of this information, and some of these businesses. one of them was the official Black Wall Street.
Right.
And you can just Google them.
Right. I'll get the list from you to share. So you just wanted to make the comment that we should support black businesses, or are
we
you
should
the same,
support
are
them?
You,
yes, we should support okay. them as much as possible, because that's the only way we're going to keep the money in our own community is if we're spending it in our community. If we're, you know, I'm not saying that you can't go to Walmart or you can't go to Sears or somewhere like that. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, as much as possible, we need to be patronizing these businesses before we start patronizing the others, because that's what's going to build us up in our community.
Okay. All right.
And
so
then
listen,
also,
guys. I'm sorry, guys.
Also, one other thing, too. I didn't find one for the men, but I found one for the women. And it's called Sisterpreneurs. And that is a website that I actually got into, because what they do is provide a support system for women, black women that are in business, or black women who are trying to develop businesses. And they mentor you. They have training. They have all of that stuff. They have advisors. So, that was something I wanted to make sure I did bring up, that that's out there. I haven't been able to find one for men yet, but I'm looking.
Okay, sister. Okay, so we're going to open it up for Q&A. If anyone has any comments or anything, I have some. I don't know. It may be contrarian. You guys know how how sometimes I say things is like what, but. I have some thoughts about that. I'll let everyone weigh in, and then I'll come full circle with some of the thoughts that I have, because I have given it a lot of thought about about how we would support black businesses and how it would actually benefit us. But maybe someone will come up with something or say something in the process prior to me summarizing. All right, so I'm going to open it up, guys. Press *6 on your phone if you have a comment or a question in regards to what Sister Bonnie just brought to the floor. All right. Okay. All right, so it doesn't look like anyone has any comment or any question in regards to what you brought. Okay. So let me just share my thoughts with everyone, and then you guys could, we have Brother William and we have Sister Reese. Okay, so maybe there was a problem with the internet. All right, Brother William, you're up first. Hello? Oh, wait.
This is...
Brother William?
This is one thing. I heard what you were saying about making sure that the businesses are actually black-owned, and that's just one thing that I've made a habit of, is just asking. I go in and I don't ask, is this a minority business? But I ask, is this a black owned business?
Right.
And if they say, because you have that right, and it's not insulting, but if you're concerned how you spend your dollar, then you have a right to know where your dollar is going. And I it's a habit now. I just ask them, is this black owned or not? And if they can't tell me, or if they don't know, I move on. And then and just from that, depending on how the necessity of what I'm trying to purchase, if I can wait an extra day for another day, I turn around and walk right back out.
Nice.
And keep going. And I say thank you for your time, and keep going. And it's that's it. That's all I had to say.
All right, thank you. We appreciate it, brother. We appreciate your comment. All right, Sister Reese, you are up. Let me get that right. Sister? Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Hello? You're go ahead, Sister Reese. Hello?
Hello?
Yes. I can hear you.
Oh, can you hear me? Okay. Hi. I wanted to ask, we're talking about supporting black businesses, but it would be nice as a people, because a lot of times we say this, we say that, but it would be nice as a people if we can come together and also support black nonprofits and black programs that not only support adults but also support the youth. A lot of times, you know, it's hard to find. Like, we say we want this, we say we should, we say we do, but sometimes when it's time to put your money behind it or your sweat behind it, we can't find each other. I really wanted to talk about that.
That is the whole purpose of this. That's the whole purpose of this organization, right? So it is to give all like-minded brothers and sisters who actually want to do something a gathering place. Right. So, I understand you're a guest. So you probably haven't had a chance to go through the blueprint and see exactly what we're about. But we are about that exactly. And a little bit later, after we finish with this, with this particular question, there's a sister here. She wants to introduce a brother. We have a guest, Brother Rossi, to summarize in regards to getting behind organizations and putting things in, so that we can support them. And then finally, we will be discussing a youth program that we are already active with, right? So some people, they wonder, so where did this Black Wallets Matter stuff come from? What are you guys actually doing? Some people I've spoken to behind the scenes, some people I haven't, but you would get like an idea. You're going to hear from Brother Kareem, and you'll be able to hear about the programs that are already in place that, this has been going on about 4 years before we even started Black Wallets Matter. So, Sister, you brought up a very important question, and we will be sure to address it during the course of this call. All right? Does that sound good? Or?
Yes. All right. Yes.
All right, we got Brother Ron. Brother Ron. Shoot, Brother Ron.
What's going on, my people, my brothers and sisters? This is Brother Ron. So now we're talking about, can you hear me, Brother Luke? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I know, as long as you can hear me, I know everyone else can hear me. So we're talking about black-owned businesses, and that's great. We want to cater to our people, which is great, but we have to come up with products that can go to everybody, because everybody eats off of our money. We need to come up with universal products we want to do black hair care. Do white hair care also, because their money's good. Any kind of money, you know what I'm saying? Everybody eats off of us. Everybody eats off of our culture. Everybody eats off of black people. We need to come up with something not just for our people. The business can be just our people, but the products can be for everybody, because we need their money just like they're getting our money. So we need to try to come up with a way to try to do something universal like that. We definitely have to look out for our people as far as our products and for our people also, but we need to get some of that money too, some of their money.
Brother, I'm glad you mentioned that. I'm glad you mentioned that because that was going to be, that was one of my points. Right, so a lot of times they say we don't support black businesses and, you know, blah, blah, blah. If you, I mean, let's be honest. When you go to these websites and when you look at these products, they're not selling stuff we want. That's right. Just the bottom line. It's like, I mean, they're not getting the support because they are not selling the products that the people really want. We need to start looking at products that transcend just our ethnic, you know, that would just appeal to our ethnic group, like you know, like Brother Ron is saying. We need to create, like, mainstream products, and we actually need to learn how to run these businesses in a mainstream way.
Right?
Because a lot of times, so, you know, you get, you know, you have the black businesses, be honest with you, many of them are poorly ran. I'm a black business owner of 20 years. When I first started, I tried to study and read, went to the library and figured out all these books to try to put in all these systems and ways to actually run my business. And my customers was like, wow, I really appreciate that. Wow, you know, this is, you know, I don't normally experience this. I just figured that's the way you have to run business. But as I go and patronize other black businesses, I realize that is not what they do. They don't, you know, they'll just run it. So it's just the guys there and somebody's just taking your money. They're giving you whatever they're giving you, and then they're taking your money. So,
right. And then belittle you if you don't want their product. Talk bad about you.
And they will, right.
Yeah,
so
we have to cross those barriers and those lines. And, like, everything, like, just because it's a black-owned business, it doesn't have to have kente cloth on everything that we have. You know, we got to cater to those people. We got to get everybody's money because everybody eats off of us. We spending money on every other culture, on every other race and their products. We need to get some of their money to build us up because that's what they do.
Right.
So
I wholeheartedly agree. That's exactly what I wanted to say. The last thing that I wanted to say was, so when we go and we support these black businesses, and there's something like, you know, we have Sister Bisa waiting in the queue, but one of the other things, we need to be figuring out if these businesses are actually contributing back to the community, right? So, I said, my business, I opened up my business. As soon as I was able to get, like, you know, a few dollars, I went and brought a Lexus. I didn't even think about giving back to the community. Right. I had a business. Now, what happened was, as you know, I was so grateful for everything that Thanksgiving, you know, the first year that I was in business, that Thanksgiving, I went and, you know, my mother was like, hey, you need to give back. So we stayed open and we gave dinner and, you know, we had dinners. And that's something that we have been practicing throughout the years. We also give back, you know, when it's back to school, we give book bags and pencils and things like that. But that wasn't, you know, that just dawned on me. That was just my personality. But all the other businesses that are in that neighborhood, they don't necessarily give back and they take from that neighborhood. And so it needs to be a cycle. And so not only do we need to understand or know that these are black businesses, we actually have to vet them and see, hey, are you actually contributing back? This organization was set up for that, right? So we go and we make a recommendation to a black business or whatever. If that business owner becomes an association member, then at the very least, we know that he's doing something because we are using our association, you know, we are using the things that we contribute back to the black community.
So as far as your business plan, can you hear me? All the reading and knowledge that you gain from being a business owner, if you could find a way or some kind of class or even an online tutorial on some of these young black businessmen and women on how they can better do their business. Like you said, you go into the shops or you go into the stores and it's not run the way it should be run. And you know that. And as a business owner yourself, you can set up your own tutorial for them. All right, this is what you want to do. This is just my breakdown of what should be done, what they're doing wrong, and no one is specific, just what you've noticed over the years. This is what I see, and this is what we should be doing, and this is what these people over here are doing as far as building their business. So, you know, you have that knowledge, and you can contribute that to the young entrepreneurs out there.
That is something in the pipeline, Brother Ron. That is.
All right, brother. All right.
Thank you for your feedback. All right, so we have Sister Bisa, Sister Bonnie, and Sister Kokoya in the queue. All right, you have anything else you want to contribute, brother, or you good?
No, I'm good. Thank you guys for letting me take the time.
All right, peace. Sister Bisa?
Hello, everyone. I'm. How you doing?
Right.
This is Bisa. How you doing, Brother Lou?
All right, how you doing?
I just came in on the call, but I got a gist of what's going on with the conversation. I used to be a manager for 20 years. So
recording started.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. So I kind of understand what, you know, the success of a business and also the failures of a business. Taking what I've learned, because I did step down, you know, to be more involved with my family from management, to what I learned in management, because I didn't go to school for anything, you know, and I took it to the business that I am now, and it's a little bit more successful than what I anticipated, even though I stepped down from being management.
And that's because you learned the skills from someplace else?
I learned the skills from someplace else, and I took what I learned and, you know,
applied it,
just improved on it. Exactly. My dad, my granddad, they all have been business owners. The first business been open since 1929, and it's still running today. And I tried to implement that in his business. But, of course, you know, and I had this conversation yesterday with, you know, some of my fellow coworkers, and I was telling them, you know, my dad was like, wait till I die. You know what I'm saying? I hate to be like that, but that's how he was. He was like, wait till I die, then you can run the business. And I said, Dad, you know, that's not how Victor Newman did it on Young and the Restless. You know, why I want to wait till you die? I say, we are family. We're supposed to grow and be successful together. And I saw that with his dad. I saw his, you know, my granddad do it with his, you know, with his father. So, you know, it was just like, wait till I die. When I die, you inherit it. And I'm like, Dad, that's not how it works.
When Brother Ron said that, I didn't want to say, oh man, it's so hard trying to tell black people how to run their business.
It
is. Like that. But you just,
But you know, and when he had a heart attack, that's when he was like, oh, you can run the business. I said, no, I'm too old now. You know, I'm 45. I say, it's time for my kids to get this business. I say, you let my kids run the business. And he said, they're not ready. I said, see, you have the same mentality. You know, we have to step up, you know, and let the next generation run it.
They need the tools and the knowledge, though, definitely.
And you're right, but how are they going to get it if they haven't stepped out? I was a manager of a Fortune 500 company, and he told me I still wasn't ready. You understand what I'm saying? You're not ready.
Yeah, I get it.
I'm like, dude. So, you know, but so,
yeah.
You know, that kind of, it busts my bubble. So then, you know, when he was ready for me to get it, I stepped away, and I was like, I can't do it.
Right.
And I was like, I'm too old for this. So then, you know, going back to what the gentleman said before, you know, when we go into black-owned businesses, you know, and, you know, our brothers and sisters are in the front with no customer service, you know, it's kind of hard to support those businesses no matter how hard we want to. And all of this stuff is being, it has to be a training process, basically.
It is.
And that's why a lot of them fail. That's why a lot of them fail, because they're not trained for customer service. Because I was in a predominantly black, when I was a manager, it was predominantly black, you know, and we just had to learn how to put on airs and act, you know, a little more professional than what we was getting in the community. You understand what I'm saying? And a lot of people are not taught that. They're not taught to step outside the box. and, you know.
I get it. I hear you 100%, sister. We have a few more sisters in the queue. We have Sister Bonnie, Sister Kakoya, and Sister Liz. So, is there anything else you want to contribute, or are you?
No, sir.
You need to apologize. You brought up something that is very. I didn't want to say it. I wanted to be polite, you know, as the host. But you just hit the nail on the head. Listen, we a lot of times we don't have the proper training. We're just not ready for prime time. That's how my father likes to say. That's what he told me before. He's like, man, are you ready for prime time? And that's what made me, you know, that pushed me to go do the research that I had to do in order to make my business.
Right. And a lot of us want the business, but we don't know how to run the business. And that's where, you know.
Yeah. I want to come back to that, sister, because that's a big thing. Let's give some other people some time.
Thank y'all.
I want to come back to that. All right. I love that. That's the truth, kind of sad to say. you have anything else, sister, or are you good?
No, sir. Thank you.
All right. Bye. Sister Bonnie?
Yes, I am here.
Okay.
Okay. I want to address everything that was just said because I agree with everybody. When I was talking about, you know, buying black, yeah, we need to buy products from our own community. However, we need to also support our nonprofits because there are nonprofits out there that need that support. We need to be investing our time, our energy into them as well. And we need to be investing a lot of our time and our energy into making sure that what we learn and what we know is also transmitted to somebody else. We got to teach. We have to teach. Because if we don't teach or show them or do something that's going to help them with their businesses, then, yeah, they're going to fail. And I agree with Brother Ron and with you that the products and the services that we offer, they have to be relevant to what we as a community need. Now, everybody needs laundry detergent because we got to wash. Everybody needs toilet paper because we have to use that too. Everybody needs soap because we all have to take a bath. So these are some of the businesses that I did see that are black owned. What we need to do in those cases is we need to do what we can to help build those brands so they can compete with Charmin and Cottonelle and everybody else.
I'm with you. But remember, you know, my caveat is that you know, once we support these businesses, that they're actually recontributing or helping the black community. Because, you know, I told
and
you.
And they have to. They have to, because if they're not, it's fruitless.
But that's what I'm saying. But so there's really no way to kind of like enforce that. So that's something that a lot of people always say, oh, we need more black businesses. It's like, okay, cool, we get more black businesses. But all we're doing is just taking more rich black people or more wealthy black people that's going to move out of those communities that actually supported them. And then they're going to take their money out of the community anyway. So,
right.
You know, that's why I wanted to try to make something where, you know, like this organization, it's like, okay, cool. You support the organization, we can promote your business or we can do whatever it is. But now we know because they support this organization and this organization is only geared towards helping the black community, then we know, okay, at the very least, this business is doing that. So, but I'm with you, sister. I'm definitely
exactly.
With you.
And in my research this past week, what I did find was I can't call his name now, but there's a guy who actually, in supporting black businesses, he is going through his area and actually going to these businesses and saying, hey, what are you doing to support the community? What are you giving back? Because if you're not giving back, then you're really not doing anything but trying to get rich.
Right.
And that's not our purpose. I know it's not mine, and I'm right
researching a business myself. We'll have to go, that's a whole other thing, right? Because I mean, so someone goes into business, they are trying to get rich. That is the purpose. That is the nature of business. But you know, a lot of our brothers and sisters, we have to have like a dual purpose. But I you know, this could, we could wind up going on forever, and we have a few more people in the queue. I want to, you know, so I just want to let you say what you got to say so we can get to Sister Kokoya and Sister Liz. Is there anything else you want to summarize? Anything else you want to say in summary?
Just in summary, yeah, I agree. We have to make sure that the businesses that we deal with do give back to the community. I agree with that. I totally agree with that.
Okay. Thank you, Sister. I appreciate you. Okay. So next we have Sister Kokoya. Sister?
Yes. Hello, everyone. Can you hear me well?
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Okay, I'm going through a tunnel now, so hopefully I don't go in and out. But I just wanted to touch on what everyone agreed to. I agree with these black businesses contributing to different organizations that give back to the black community. But what comes to mind when we talk about this so that we can start taking action is that small businesses in our community can partner up with Black Wallet Matters, where we connect all small businesses and all black-owned businesses together, where we can network with each other and find a way where we can bridge this gap, where we can patronize each other. We have to find a connection. And I think by partnering with Black Wallet Matters, they can come to this community as well, and then we can have more open discussions on how we can take action to start patronizing each other by, you know, just creating a library in Black Wallet Matters community on all the black-owned businesses in each state, you know, that partners with us, and then find ways where we can have some quality assurance with our businesses. Like one of the sisters said, as far as customer service is very important. So just pretty much a community where we're holding each other accountable for upgrading our businesses so we can be successful. That should be our main focus, so we can start thriving and, you know, start taking these actions and start implementing them. So I just think the partnership with Black Wallet Matters will be the first step to be part of this organization and start connecting every black-owned business under the same umbrella and then creating an action plan.
Sister, I love that idea. So if I'm understanding you correctly, you're saying that we need a directory, right? And I mean, there are many. There are many directories of black businesses out there already. But what you are saying is we make sure that there's some type of quality or some kind of quality assurance or something like that. So as you said that, what came to my mind was customer reviews, right? So and feedback for the business. So we go and we send people in and they patronize these businesses, but we let the business know, you know, we explain to them in advance, hey, listen, we're going to send these patrons to you. They're going to be leaving you feedback in regards to your customer service, your pricing, mm-hmm. your product selection, and things like that. Don't mm-hmm. gloss over this, because this is one of the big problems that we have in the black community, and this is something, you know, this is actionable information for you. And if they're in agreement to that, then we definitely could, you know, we definitely should partner with businesses like that that are open-minded, that are willing to improve their offerings to the black community.
Absolutely.
Because that gives all black businesses a better reputation. I love that idea, sister, and I put it in my notes. See, there you go. So now you just gave me more homework every time you and I talk.
But guess what? I'm willing to start that. I'm willing to get that started. That's the thing. I'm willing to get that going because we need that, and we need to be holding each other accountable. And that should, it's, there's a lot of black directories, yes, but this directory should have a purpose.
Yeah, I agree.
Because there's plenty of black directories, but this one should have a purpose, that we're needing to upgrade our community, uplift, you know, create more jobs. It has to be a purpose involved, you know. There has to be some action, because we could talk all day about everything. Right. But I'm willing to start it here in D.C. I actually have some connections here and resources for small business owners, so we can talk later about that.
I love it. I love it, sister. Okay. Yep. We'll talk behind the scenes. Okay. So we have Sister Liz and Brother William in the queue. All right. Anything else you want to add, sister, in summary, or you're good?
Oh.
Are you good? Okay. All right. Bye. Sister Liz. Sister Liz.
Okay. So you can hear me.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. So, I was listening to the very first person, I can't remember his name, and he was talking about when he walked into a business that he wants to know if the business is black owned.
Yep,
and
Brother
funny
William.
Thing is, okay. So the funny thing is, because I don't want to take a bunch of time, funny thing is with some, I have some college education, and I learned how to go into the public library with my library card and utilize the library catalog. In there, it's free. It's open to the public. You can go inside, and you can look up the name of the business, and it will tell you the name of the person that owns that business. Now, I can't be. I know that I was doing research on different businesses just for fun, just trying to figure out who owns what business in my neighborhood. I was just having fun with it and just going up to people and then saying, oh, yeah, I know so-and-so owns that place. And I started rubbing shoulders and elbows with all the business owners in my neighborhood right here. So, yeah.
Where are you?
I'm over here in Hollywood, actually. I'm directly in North Hollywood.
Okay, cool.
Right in North Hollywood. So that was fun to play with. The very first thing I knew that was going to be an asset to my business, because I was actually making clothes and selling clothes, was that library card. And
really?
I'm telling you, because I didn't even know who was what. And two, there's a few people that I listen to about politics and what happened, who's doing what when the election, because that has a lot to do with how money flows. Different things like being connected to resources like news publications where you can get real stories and current events. Sometimes those can bring on really great ideas for creating a business. T-shirts. People print stuff on T-shirts all the time with current events. Some silly little, you know, event that happened, a tornado or earthquake or whatever, you know. The reality shows, and they can come up real quick and then move on to the next level of their business. So 100%. Just wanted 100%. To add, yes, just wanted to add about the library card and just, you know, reading about other people's ups and downs on how their businesses succeeded and how they failed, and just listening to YouTube videos when I get tired, because my eyes get tired of reading. So those are some things that I just wanted to bring up, and that was it.
Excellent, excellent suggestion, sister. Excellent. You're 100% right with the T-shirts that talk about current trends, of course. It's been going on for years, since back in the days with the Do the Right Thing and, you know, the Bart and all that crazy stuff on the shirts. So, yep, you're 100% right.
Mm-hmm. Right, a lot of good stories, especially the guys who married, who created Baby Fat. I think I forget his name, but you guys probably don't talk. That guy started everything, the comedy and the music.
And he
I read a story on him and his wife, and what they did was they created a clothing line. They sold it, but they didn't give away the key. What they did was they sold it. When they sold it, they said, we want to keep a position as vice president. So they already, they're going to continue to get a paycheck. So they basically took the business, gave it, sold it to somebody who could make it grow bigger, and it was less overhead for them. So
excellent.
Yeah. Okay. Let me stop, and then I'm done, and I'll write down the other questions if I have any more things.
There's no problem. All right. Thank you, Sister Liz. Appreciate you. All right. Cool. We got Brother William next. Brother William, Brother?
Hello?
Yep.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
Brother.
Yeah, no, well, that's while I was here waiting, two folk already said what I was going to say, so
oh.
I'm good.
Reiterate the point. What was the point?
The idea of the questionnaire.
Uh-huh.
And then the T-shirts, since I'm an artist anyway by trade, so
okay.
I do that kind of work. But I was one question that I did, that did come up was something that I wish I could do if I had the ability to drive, and that is the service of delivery that can connect using something other than the UPS.
Okay.
If we can offer something that can
keep
ourselves connected.
Yep.
And
I like that idea.
So
I like that idea.
That alone, I think, would build a huge bridge in connecting many people state that just out of state.
That is part of our overall plan. So we have a brother, he's in transportation. We had two members that were in transportation. But we have been discussing that. It's a matter of logistics.
Right.
But we kind of think probably one of the best places to start is actually to just get more of our brothers and sisters driving, right? Driving mm-hmm. in that capacity. And then we can
right.
start piecing together different hubs and, things
right.
like that. But I definitely love that idea. And that is something yeah. that would put us on a map for real.
All right.
That's all you have to add? Well,
that was great. But a lot of what I had to say was already said, so I'm good.
Okay. Thank you, brother. All right.
Yep.
Okay, so that was the last question or comment in the queue for this particular topic, and we were discussing black businesses and ways to improve and ways to improve the quality and the customer service and things like that. I'm going to give the floor to Sister Kokoya for a moment so that she could introduce Brother Rossi. But real quick, let me acknowledge Brother Cujo coming on the call. Okay, Brother Cujo.
Hey, how you doing, brother?
All right, good
brother,
to have you.
How's everybody doing tonight? I hope everybody is well.
Okay, and then we have a caller from 702 area code. I just want to tag you. Who's calling it from 702?
Lady Skinner.
Lady Skinner?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sister, so can we call you Sister Skinner or Sister Lady? What would you like to be addressed as?
Either one is fine. Sister Skinner's
okay.
fine.
Sister Skinner, okay, here we go. Sister Skinner. Gotcha. Okay, we have another brother. We have Brother Ron back in the queue in regards to the businesses. Hold on, let me get to Brother Ron. Brother Ron?
I'm back. Hello. Can you hear me, Boo? Brother Boo?
Yep.
Brother Lou?
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
And now, as far as what the gentleman was talking about is transportation, that's a great idea. In the big cities, I think it can start off small. Messenger service, because not everybody, as far as competing with UPS, the FedEx, you need planes and stuff. Trucks are good, but you need planes. So starting off something small, like messenger service in the big cities, would be great. And, from there, just build up. I think that was a really good idea as far as the transportation thing and, Doing something like that, I think that's a really good idea. We got to start somewhere.
Right. Well, so my thing is, right, I'd rather go and acquire a business that already has all the pieces in place because, to Sister Bisa's point, a lot of times we don't know what we're doing, right? So logistics is a really complicated business, especially the way they have those things, right? So I know on the surface we're looking at it and we're like, oh, it's just a messenger. Somebody calls in and says, hey, send such and such to XYZ place. But there's a lot more to it going on behind the scenes.
Right.
So, but yes, it is a great idea. It's definitely a great
idea. One other thing, as far as, all right, let's talk about rating black stores.
Is it going to be like an app? Did you see how Uber has an app?
Yeah, I actually had a business that was doing that. So I actually sold that service, and it basically provided reviews. It allowed restaurants to provide reviews, allowed customers at restaurants to provide the reviews. And, you know, they were able to use it on tablets and things like that. But this was like before tablets and phones were as big as they are, as popular as they are. So that's why I was really excited, because I still have the software, I still have the code for that, and could definitely be repurposed. Exactly, it could definitely be repurposed, and we can figure out a way to do that. So, but you know, like Sister Visa said, one of the biggest things, and she commented on this after you spoke. A lot of black businesses, man, they don't want to hear it. I got to just call a spade a spade, man. They don't want to hear it. They don't want the improvement. And I think, like, the only reason why I took the constructive criticism is because it came from my father. Like, all right, he told me, hey, what are you doing?
So instead of telling them what they shouldn't do, just have a blueprint of what you did do. You know, other because people, you know, we're very emotional people. Like, he's telling me not to do this. So, like you're right about that. So, you know, this is what I did, and this is how it worked for me. And you can keep doing what you want to do, but this is what made me, you know, a successful business owner at that time.
Right.
So, you know, I guess it's all in the wording and all of how it's, you know, portrayed to them.
Yep. All right. Yeah, anything else, brother, or that's it?
No. That's it.
Okay.
That's it. Thank you.
All right, cool. Yep. All right, so I'm going to wrap that segment up, and I'm going to unmute for Sister Kakoya and Brother Rossi, and let them introduce what Brother Rossi has going on. He has something similar to our mission, to the Black Wallets Matter mission. So I'll just open it up for them. Just give me a moment here.
We just save up to get a decent charger.
Right.
Just leave it in a crib.
Sister Kakoya.
Sister Kakoya?
Okay.
Yeah.
Brother Rossi, is his phone, I think he muted himself. Brother Rossi, can you hear us? Okay, I think he has himself muted. So I guess when he comes back on, maybe, sister, we'll go. Unless you want to just give us a little bit, unless you want to just tell us a little bit about it. But I mean, he's on the call.
Okay.
You want to call him behind the scenes, text him behind the scenes, and then maybe let me know.
Oh, sure. You wanted me to talk about. I'm sorry, I didn't get the last part.
Brother Rossi, what he has going on?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Is he on the call?
Yeah, he is on the call. Yeah.
Okay.
But you text him behind the scenes, and then let me know let me know when you guys are ready or whatever.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Yep.
Okay.
Okay. So, Brother Kareem.
What's going on, brother?
All right. So, as you heard, there have been a lot of our brothers and sisters. They were interested about nonprofits. They were concerned that, they were saying that we need to support our nonprofits and things like that. I wanted to bring up and then also Sister Charmaine asked me earlier in the week what was, you know, some of the things that we have going on. And she was saying, are we going to be set up like a nonprofit and things like that. So I want you to kind of like explain to the group what we already have going on, the things that have already been in play before Black Wallets Matter came on, and, explain the mission or whatever, or, the work of what's already going on.
All right. Well, our mission is kind of simple. We just want to protect children from guns.
What is the name of the organization, brother?
Oh, sorry. The name of the organization is Wheelchairs Against Guns. I gave it that name because myself, I've been in a wheelchair. Come next month, Father's Day, I've been in a wheelchair 22 years.
I made some wrong decisions in my life, you know, that I'm not proud of, but they were made. And now I try to use those decisions to try to, you know, correct the path that I was youth for all, you know, because I once was them. So what we do is, we share, first and foremost, our mission is simple, like I said, is to protect children from guns, gangs, and bullying. And how we do that is we've partnered with the DOE of New York City, and we're allowed to go into these workshops and provide the schools with workshops that center around our core principles, which are critical thinking, conflict resolution, and how to build and reinforce self-respect and high self-esteem. Me and my friend Lewis, we've studied and we've researched the why and why our children are the same across America. And we've came up with this thing that we've uncovered, which is called the culture of honor. And it plays a part within our youth. So do you think I got time to explain all that, or should I just
know what you think?
All right, so what we do is, we studied this culture of honor, and we came up with it. So we figured out ways how we can address it and how we can break it. And how we can break it is, you know, by instilling in our children a sense of pride where they, you know, can have a sense just to walk away and say no, you know, without feeling like a chump or feeling like a less of a person. Because if you think about it, you know, across America, every inner city is basically the same. You know, we all suffer from violence, from black crime. You know, we all suffer, you know, lack of communication with the police. You know, it's no way. Chicago, well, the murder rate might be different from New York and Chicago, but across the board, it's all the same thing. So, and the reason why it's like it is because of this culture that's going on. So, we believe in Wheelchairs Against Guns that through understanding of this culture, we can address it by these three principles, and that is our core principles, which are conflict resolution. We want to teach them how they can, you know, feel good about themselves and walk away from a conflict without violence, you know, how to love themselves and not be influenced by their peers. A lot of actions they're taking, you know, if they were one-on-one and by themselves, it wouldn't be so much. It's a lot of the peers. That's why we have a lot of gangs. We have over 200 alone, you know, and that's a lot of gangs to be in one girl. So that's what...
Your phone is breaking up, brother.
Oh, I'm on the bridge, brother. How's it coming along now?
Okay, I can hear you. You said how many gangs were there?
220 between 220 to 250 gangs in the Bronx alone. You know, and that's not gangs, that's Crews, that's the Bloods, the Crips. You know, and now in New York City, the MS-13s are now circulating into the gang population. So, to summarize,
the organization is a workshop. And there are individuals such as yourself that are in wheelchairs, that are victims of gun violence, right, for making decisions from actually living a street life and things like that. And then you guys have formed a nonprofit organization called Wheelchairs Against Guns, and you're working with the New York City Board of Ed, and you're going in and you're conducting these workshops where you talk to these children that live in at-risk neighborhoods, right, in the inner city.
And ironically, what Sister said about supporting nonprofits, you know, me and Brother Lou discuss this all the time. It's like we've come to the conclusion, like, people just don't care, man. You know, and it's sad because the schools that mostly need it in New York City, they always claim they don't have it in the budget. You know, and it's the schools that really need it. So what we've done, what we took amongst ourselves to try to do is raise funds to sponsor these workshops.
Okay, and so in regards to the fundraising, how successful has that been when we appeal directly to the people that are in that area that need, you know, that actually need these services the most? Well, what kind of response have you been getting in regards to that? Hello? Brother? Brother, your phone is really, really low. Brother, we can't hear you. Oh, man. I'm going to have to mute him and text him on his behind the scenes because I know I can't hear him. I got to let him know because he's talking his phone probably disconnected from his phone. Well, probably disconnected from his call. Does anyone have any questions or any comments or anything to in regards to that? I'm going to put it in Q&A mode, and then you guys can press star 6. Hello? Hello? Okay. So we have Brother Rossi in the queue. We have Sister Bonnie in the queue. Okay. Brother Rossi?
Yes. Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, brother.
Hey, what's going on? Sorry about that. I think I was muted earlier. I was hitting star 6, but it was saying I couldn't be unmuted.
Right. We tried to give you an introduction. We set it up, brother. We had drum rolls and everything, and it was like, hey.
Hey, I heard it. I was over here talking to you. Y'all just couldn't hear me.
Oh. Okay.
Yes, sir. But I like to thank everyone for having me on the call today. I'm not sure if Sir Corey was supposed to speak as well. I did just want to let you know that I was in fact on the call.
Okay.
One thing that I did just want to bring up a few things. I'm not sure. Again, where she was going to go with the conversation as well. But I will say that I do really like what I'm hearing today far as what everybody is talking about. And I agree with some of the things that that we've spoken about before, definitely, that, you know, we need to buy from our own, but we need to sell to everyone. One of the things that I think, too, is that we have to start approaching the business world with somewhat of an empire state of mind. Because a lot of times what we have to realize, too, is that there's a huge difference between hustling and building an empire. And one thing I'll say, especially when it comes to black people and businesses and things of that nature, one thing we do know how to do is we know how to hustle, okay? We'll sell you some hair. We'll sell you a T-shirt. You know, we'll cut your hair. We'll fix a car. You know, let a button on your shirt fly off. Somebody will sell it for $5. You know what I mean? That's just kind of how we do. But there's a difference between doing that and actually building something sustainable, which I think could be very helpful and useful in terms of knowing exactly how to do that. The other thing is, too, one thing that I think that we definitely need to consider is having a proper business structure. A lot of black people are operating what's referred to as, I guess, what you consider an illegitimate business, meaning you don't actually have a legal entity or structure. Because if you get your business legally structured and such in the proper way, now it opens you up to be able to receive lines of credit and actually have some financing and other things of that nature as well. And I'm sorry, did you have something? I wasn't sure where Sequoia was going to go with the introduction.
Actually, this wasn't – we were still commenting on the brother in regards to the nonprofit. I was going to give you and Sister Sequoia the floor so that way you guys could – you know, that way you guys could say what you were saying.
She's
in the queue. She's in the queue now. So I just want to, we can revisit exactly what you're saying. I just wanted to see if anyone had any comments in regards to this nonprofit, because this is an organization that we have already, it's already been in existence for 4 years. It's a nonprofit. So the sisters, some of the comments from earlier were saying that we need to go and we need to support the nonprofit. This is, you know, this is something that we've already launched prior to this particular organization. So if you want, just, you know, let us wrap up on this subject, and then I will open the floor back up for you and Sister Sequoia, and then you can go and talk about the business and your book and things like that, if that's all right with you.
Okay, good deal. Yes, sir.
Yep. All right. Cool. All right. So we have Sister Bonnie in the queue. Sister Bonnie. Okay, sister. We have Sister Bonnie and Sister Sequoia. Go ahead.
Okay. I have a question. Going back to the wheelchairs against guns.
Yes. Let me unmute Brother Kareem. See if he can hear it now. Brother Kareem.
Yes, brother. Headphones died. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
All right. Go ahead.
My question is this, because I really, really like that. And that's something that's needed, not just in New York. It's needed here in Phoenix. It's needed everywhere. And what I want to know is exactly what you think, being that I'm in Phoenix, I can do that is going to help to support your nonprofit? Because I want to support this.
Well, sister, like, I don't know when the phone cut off, but we, like, right now, currently, actually, we're closing the school year out strong. So what we're doing right now is we're trying to raise funds to put the workshops in places that can't afford it. You know, a lot, you know, I have a little bit of pull with the Department of Board of Education in New York City, where, you know, I can get into the schools, you know, it's just the schools don't have the money, you know. So what
okay.
we're doing is trying to raise the money so we can get it into the school, you know, because it's 1,800 schools in New York City, you know, and I would love to take it nationwide, you know, that's part of our plan. But, you know, like they say, you got to crawl before you walk, you know. But so as
right.
far as right now, as the help that you can give us, you know, I would love to say, what's your name, sister?
Bonnie.
Sister Bonnie, I would love to let the kids know that somebody from Phoenix has taken their interest and wants to support them in getting this education to them. You know, we could put it on the website, you know, we could, we could cross-promote. If you're doing something, we could also put it on the website where we could work with each other. But as far as now, that's our main focus in getting these workshops to our children that need it, because, like I said, in these inner cities, they're denying our kids. They're denying our children and our young scholars this education that they need to navigate through these tough environments, you know. So I appreciate the help. Everything is on the website, like wheelchairsagainstguns.org. We have everything is up there. Whatever you want to do, however you want to help us, you know, all the directions are there, our number, you know, our email address, everything, our GoFundMe page, or you can just make a straight donation to Wheelchairs Against Guns.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So, Sister Bonnie.
Because I'd like to get my brother involved in that, because he also has a nonprofit in Michigan, and
okay.
And I think that would be one good way to try to do get it going in a couple places. Because I know he would spearhead something like that.
Well, please feel free to share my information, or you could get it from Brother Lou, you know, and, you know, we could definitely hook up and we could talk and we could kick some ideas around and see how, you know, maybe I could come out to wherever you are at and, you know, maybe I could provide some youth, you know, because our unique situation is most of my members are in wheelchairs, you know, like we suffered from the gun. Horrifically, you know, and
and there's so many people that have, and so I
yes.
understand.
Yeah,
right.
I'm
so that's what I wanted to clarify to the body. So when he's saying like, you know, the workshops and they have to go in, it's so he goes in with a group of speakers and they are in wheelchairs and they need wheelchair accessible transportation to get back and forth from the school, and then not to mention, you know, they're putting on a presentation, and so there's like handouts and there's things like that, so they have to hire an assistant because they are, you know, in the chair. So that's, you know, so those are where some of the funds, you know, those are where a lot of the funds have to go, because even though they're giving the information and, you know, putting it together, you know, because of their special condition, that's what it calls. But it's really impactful though. Right, because a lot of the times when you're talking to the youth in regards to the outcomes of selling drugs or gang banging or any of that other stuff, it's usually death or jail. Well, when they go and they speak to them, they're like, well, there's a third option there's a third scenario that hardly anyone talks about. And it's like, you know, you could wind up paralyzed or you could wind up in a wheelchair. And it's like, you know, from his speeches, from his lectures, he says, I'm living my hell every day.
Yeah,
you know, so
that's just
something that, you know, just something that it's like a shock. It's a shock to the system for the children when they see that, and it needs to be delivered to more, especially those that are living in at risk neighborhoods. But there's other people in the queue, and I don't want to dwell on this too long. But if anyone that wants to support especially I believe it was Sister Reese and Sister Reese who was talking about supporting the nonprofits, and I know Sister Charmaine was asking me earlier about some of the things that we're doing in terms of the business structure and all these other things. There, you know, so Sister Charmaine, that is a nonprofit that is already up and running that we are affiliated with, and it's called BillChairsAgainstGuns.org, and the brother name is Brother Kareem. And if you guys have any other questions or things you want to ask him directly, you can call him or you can ask me. And I will relay a message or whatever, because I work with him. Well, like I said, this is actually Black Wallace Matter actually originated from this, from our work with Wheelchairs Against Guns, right? So it was like we have to do something with the youth, and then we have to do something with the adults or the other people, you know, the parents of these youth. That's where this idea has come from, for those who don't really know. All right, so we have Sister Kokoya. Sister Bonnie, is there anything you want to add in summary?
No, that was all I needed. Thank
okay.
you.
Yep. Sister Kokoya.
Yeah, so I just want to add to Brother Kareem's nonprofit. He can, you know, start up different chapters in different states. I mean, I'll be willing to, you know, put this out here in schools in D.C. because it's highly needed. So I think we really need to talk more about structuring and people, the partnership with Black Wallet Matters and his organization as well as a platform for people to come on board. And, like, I just had this vision that Black Wallet Matters, like, if you wanted to be part of this network or this community, people just walking by like Black Wallet Matters. If you want to find out more about this, go to blackwalletmatters.org. And, you know, there's a community of organizations that support each other and help each other grow. But I just want to lightly touch on that. That's an awesome organization. And I didn't know that you were partnered up, you know, initially. So that's really great, good information. So Brother Rossi, did you want us to talk now or later?
We're gonna do that now. I want to end up this segment and then I'll unmute you guys.
Okay, well, I'm good.
Okay, all right, yep, all right. So if no one else has anything to contribute in regards to the nonprofit, Sister Reese, you sure there's nothing you want to say in regards to that, Sister Liz? Who else commented on? Okay. Star 6, if anyone. Okay, there you go, Sister Reese. Yep.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes, yes. No, I was just saying if maybe I could leave an email or get in touch as far as, I guess, following up, because I'm just hoping that maybe there'll be another call or something for me to listen in on and to see collectively as a community what we can actually do, because people, we can talk all day, you know, but, like, let's do something. You know, I'm just hoping that eventually it will come to that, because, I mean, as a people, you know, we march, we shout, but let's actually put some action, you know. That's what I hope
for. I'm glad you said that. Well, that's the whole purpose of this organization. So everyone here, the majority of the people on the call, so we have a few guests, but the majority we have our brothers and sisters who are already active members of the organization, and that is exactly what we are doing. That is exactly the whole purpose of these calls. So we invite guests to come on and see what this community is doing. We have more members. You know, some people, they can't make it because of the time. They have to get up, go to work, and whatever. But we are already putting our money where our mouth is. We are already moving forward. These calls are galvanizing our thoughts and our ideas, but there is a blueprint. If you get a chance, you can go to the website and you can look at it. There's a blueprint, right? So we have our marching orders. We have things that we're going to be following with and executing step by step by step. But, you know, Wheelchairs Against Guns, there's another organization, Code for USA, that we work with, which is, hopefully we can get Dr. Evelyn, she's African, I can't pronounce her last name, but That's another organization that I work with that, you know, that spawned, you know, Black Wallets Matter, and that is to help women, especially young women, stop the generational cycle of poverty, right? So we're already in the trenches. So she is conducting these classes, and she is providing free education to young sisters in impoverished neighborhoods, and she is telling them that, you know, education is the key. And so, as you know, same capacity that I work with Brother Kareem in terms of, you know, consulting and in terms of working and putting together some of the content and some of the educational materials. That's the capacity that, you know, that I personally work in with these organizations. Brother Cujo always tells me that I'm being modest. Say, oh, you need to say more. But I just, you know, I never wanted to, like, put that out there. Like, oh, okay, you know, we're already doing this in the community or whatever, because I wanted this organization to stand on its own merit. But so we are already taking action. So Wheelchairs Against Guns has already been active. Brother, what's that, 4 years, 3-4 years? Doing workshops for free. So when the school can't pay, you know, the Brother Kareem is using his Social Security check, and he's like, all right, well, what the hell, I'll load these guys up in a wheelchair accessible vehicle, and I will pay out of my pocket. That's what we've been doing behind the scenes for years already. So, you know, so to answer your question, sister, yeah, we're not about just talking. We're definitely about taking action. Hello?
Yes.
Hello? Oh, okay. All right. So, all right. So, listen, I want to, do you have anything else you want to contribute in summary? Hello, sister?
Hello?
Yes, yes. Is there anything else you would like to contribute, or you're good?
I'm good for now. Yes, thank you.
Okay, excellent. Okay, so that will end that particular segment. Okay, so now I will, Sister Kakoya and Brother Rossi, you guys should be unmuted now.
Hello,
Brother Rossi. Yep.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yep, I can. Sister Kakoya. Hello, sister. Okay, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But go ahead, brother. Sister Kakoya, you know, for everyone. Oh, you're here. Okay, right. Okay, so Sister Kakoya has reached out to this brother. Your first name, I don't want to mess it up, brother. But to the brother, Rossi. I'm sorry,
that's correct, yes.
Right, okay.
No, that's correct.
So she reached out to the brother. He is another brother who is taking action, who is contributing to rebuilding the Black community. The sister thought that he would be really good to have in on our town hall meeting so that we could understand that there are others like us that are in the trenches actually rolling up their sleeves, getting to work. And so I want to let Sister Kakoya introduce the brother and then let the brother, you know, talk about what he has going on. Sister?
Yeah, so this is Sister Kakoya, and I would like to introduce Rossi. I actually just found him on Facebook a couple of weeks ago, looking for Black communities to reach out to in regards to what Black Wallet Matters mission is and movement is about. And I was really intrigued to find Brother Rossi and discovered that he actually has a book on Amazon or Soul Books about bringing America, Black America, back. And so, it, like we talked about before, it's very rare to come across like-minded individuals. So once you connect with them, it's just an awesome thing. So I want to introduce Rossi, and you can take the floor.
Yes, hi. Hey, thank you. Thank you for that introduction. I appreciate it. Like I mentioned earlier, I really am excited about all the stuff that I'm hearing tonight. And when Kakoya reached out to me, and I did take a look at the Black Lives Matter movement, we do have some very
Black Wallets.
I'm sorry. Black Wallet. Excuse me. It was just a habit. But we do have some very similar goals. Just to give everybody just a really quick rundown
in terms of myself and organization and what we're about. For those of you that don't know, I actually wrote a book called Restore Black America, and you can find it on Amazon. And just to give you a really quick background on it, the inspiration for that book actually came to me after a friend of mine introduced me to a document called the Willie Lynch Letter. Many of you probably heard of it, may have heard of it, may not. You know, if you don't, it's just really, it's a basically a transcript of a speech given at a slave owners convention, and it talks about how to control black people. And if you want to do it, you do it through psychology instead of through force. So one of the things they talked about is amplifying the differences, putting young against old, male against female, light skin against dark skin, all the things that you see today. And so when I looked at that letter, I said, well, if this is a plan to destroy black people, if I just reverse engineer it, could I create a plan to rebuild black people? Hence the term Restore Black America. So I wrote a book that outlines a six-step action plan to rebuild our community in the six areas of our community, which are culture, economics, politics, family, health, and spirituality. And I founded the Restore Black America Foundation as a way to actually provide the tools for us to implement the plan. Because what happens is, a lot of times, what you'll find is you run the risk of, how do you say, it begs the question of how do you bridge the gap between information and implementation? And the answer is you do it with tools. So one of the things that we did, obviously, as you guys know through your organization, is that economics is really the nucleus of a lot of the issues, and it's going to be a big part of our solution. So one of the things that the Restore Black America Foundation does is we actually build entrepreneur schools. So we actually have an entrepreneur school that's right here in Atlanta that we run for adults, and then we also run a Black Youth Entrepreneur Camp, which we run all summer. And we also have, again, other areas of expertise, such as we have healthy cookbooks coming out. We also have healthy cooking classes. We have a lot of different things coming through our particular program. I'm not sure what other, you know, information you want to know, but that's just a little bit about myself. So I'm not sure, Corey, if you wanted to, if you had questions or kind of wanted to put some more info on the floor.
Well, I'll just make a quick note, a quick comment. So I read the Willie Lynch letter years ago, but I just recently read it, I want to say, the like last night or maybe the night before last. And
really?
I mean, yeah. Just read it. And I was going to post it again. So you know, some of you guys know, you know, how I run the Facebook page, you know, our Facebook page. So you said, how do you go from education, information, to implementation? Right? A lot of our brothers and sisters, they don't respond to the direct appeal to, hey, listen, we have a problem, we need to do something. They appeal to, I mean, it's like the shock factor. And I was actually going to post excerpts, or actually the whole Willie Lynch letter, on the website, because I know that would, I was hoping that it would piss enough black people off to actually spur them into action, because that letter is crazy. For those who don't know, there's a segment in there, it's called the nigger marriage, if I'm not mistaken, and it's saying break the strong black man in front of the, first you make the man and the woman, right? You take two sets, you break the strong black man because the woman is going to gravitate towards him. You tie his legs to one horse, you tie it to another horse, and you split this man in front of them. That is what they said, rip him apart literally, and then the mother will raise her boy, and she will say, I have to protect this guy. So she will negotiate with the white man to protect her son, and she will raise a child that is physically strong but mentally weak, mentally dependent. And that is that blew my mind. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. And then the part, like you said, make them fight with each other. So they said mix a little bit of white blood in it. So now that way you got different shades of black. So you got light skin and, you know, mulattoes and high yellow and dark and, you know, all of this different kind of hair and all of this stuff. It just, I mean, it was just crazy. And I said, wow. But like you said, so you saw that. And it made you say, okay, if I can reverse engineer it and you do that. That is exactly what I've been thinking of in the last, I mean, well, so, you know, this whole movement, that's what it was. It's like, how do we combat what's going on? How do we reverse engineer what's going on? And like you said, tools, I believe that the solution is not going to be talking to everyone, right? Because you're going to try to broadcast this information. Our people, most of our people, are going to reject it because it's painful. And we do that a lot. We do not face the facts. We do not face the truth. We reject it. We want to run from it, whatever. And, I guess it's to protect the psyche or whatever else it is. But this organization, my brothers and sisters, especially those who speak with me behind the scenes, they know I confront the truth head on. All I care about is the truth. All I care about is the fact. I don't care if it makes me feel bad. I don't have the luxury of caring how I'll tell people, I don't care how you feel. I don't even care how I feel. All I care is what the data says. We'll get over that, but we have to have an accurate assessment of where we are to get to where we want. And, for you, brother, to come to that same conclusion and actually want to do something about it, I mean, that's marvelous. It's amazing, man, and I salute you. I just want to say that, and so I'm going to back up off the floor, and I am going to open the floor for Q&A and let people comment and contribute, because I'm sure that, some people may be interested in this, the Entrepreneur School, because it sounds really cool. So I'm going to open it up. Anyone that has a comment or a question for Brother Rossi, press *6. Okay. Hello, anyone has a question? Okay, so we got Sister Kokoya and Sister Bonnie. Okay. But Sister Kokoya, you are in the conversation, so you should be able to talk. you're on the floor, Sister. Hold on. So Sister Bonnie, and Sister Reese. Okay. Okay, Sister Bonnie.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, great. I have a question, and my question actually is regarding the Entrepreneur School. Now, I live in Phoenix, so I can't get to Atlanta to go through the classes. Is there a way that they can be done online, or how do you have that set up?
Thank you for bringing that up. Yes, normally most of our classes are done physically here in Atlanta, but we are actually working on an online version of the school. We just want to make sure that we roll it out through the right platform. But if you want to get as much information as you can and stay in the loop, you can visit restoreblackamerica.org, which is our website, and it's also a social network. So you can go in there, set up a profile for yourself, and you can also add friends, join groups, comments, forums, things of that nature. And so any announcements and updates that we make will all be done through that website. So, again, that's restoreblackamerica.org.
Okay. That's what I needed to know.
You.
Thank you.
All right, Sister Bonnie. All right, so now we have Sister Reese. Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Hi. No, I just wanted to know what's the best way to, I guess, contribute, to help, to donate?
To this organization or his organization?
Yes. To both, actually.
Oh, well, this organization, after we finish with this call, we will invite any guests here that we will invite you to become a member, right? So we don't take donations. What we do is we ask you to become a member. So like all the brothers and sisters that are on the call, they are all association members. They are founding members since we're kind of like at the beginning of this movement. And you could, like I said, I'll have an invitation. I'll extend an invitation to you. Just give us a few minutes to finish up with the brother on the call. If he wants to contribute, if he wants to chime in on how you can contribute to his movement, then, Brother Rossi.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for bringing that up. Once again, if you actually go to restoreblackamerica.org, you'll see a donate button on pretty much all the pages. And you can also go to Join RBA, and there's a donate link there. So if you go to the website, you can simply donate. And again, we are a 501c3 organization, so of course your donations are tax deductible as well. And since you mentioned that, I do want to mention, too, that for our youth camp coming up, one of the things that we're doing is we're actually raising sponsorships. And this is something that will be really good for black businesses
is that for every $99 that we raise, it pays for a scholarship for one child to go through the boot camps. So we're trying to put 100 children through the camp this summer. So for any individuals that would like to contribute to that, again, you can do that at RestoreBlackAmerica.org, and you can also find out about the youth camps there. The great thing about it is for those, I'm assuming many people on the call, most people on the call are, in fact, black businesses. One of the things that we do is we actually put a scholarship in your name, and then we also will provide whatever information that you have to the parents of the children that are attending. That are attending our youth camp. So once again, it's not only a way to give back to the youth, it's also a way to promote black businesses within the black community.
Okay. Okay. So did that answer your question, Sister Reese?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sister Liz.
Hello.
Yes, Sister Liz.
Okay, so I hear there's two organizations that are accepting donations, and one was the guy who talked about Wheelchairs Against Guns,
yes.
Right? And the other one is OBR, and what was that he said?
OBR.
What's the name of that one?
The one that the brother is on. He's talking about rebuilding.
Are you referring to RBA?
RBA, is that what it's called? Okay.
Yes, the Restore Black America Foundation, yes.
Restore okay. Black America. Okay, so I have to look up those. Okay, so what I noticed was, because I watch a lot of hair videos, because I have 4C, I have very coarse hair. And so I'm just trying to figure out, like, where I want to go with marketing my business. And so I'm looking at how in the cosmetic and beauty supply, a lot of girls do YouTube videos. And, well, I saw this one girl. She did a video on twists, just how to do these, like, Jamaican twists. And she did this little, you know, video, and she had her music. And, you know, she talked about how she relocated to Atlanta. And then at the end of the video, she had a link where you could donate to this organization. And I thought, oh my goodness, like, what a great idea. Now, with both of those organizations, would you guys allow someone who is maybe doing some kind of online sales or has, like, some kind of online catalog or video to add your link at the end of their video?
Let me unmute Brother Kareem, because that is right. I'm sure he would. Brother Kareem?
Okay.
Brother Kareem? Hello? Okay, he's not on.
Okay,
but
I can
speak for WAC. Okay. Absolutely. Uh-huh. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, what I would do is, because he would be the first one on these two guys right here, because I like what they're doing. I have a son. I don't know if you guys can hear me. I have a son that was incarcerated first.
Hello, Brother Luke.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, we can hear you, Brother Kareem. I'm sorry. The sister was talking. I'm sorry. So you had a brother that – you had a son that was incarcerated?
Yeah, he was incarcerated, yeah. And he was living in Arizona, and the penalties there are like 10 times worse. So, you know, make a long story short, you know, kids – our black kids can't be kids. They just can't enjoy their childhood. They just can't. They can't enjoy their adolescence. The police ruin it for them. They just ruin it. And the poor kids, they're looking out the window, and they're looking at all the other, you know, white kids and Latino kids who maybe get away with a little bit more, you know, in some cases. But so the thing is I always tell my son it's not your fault, you know, but I like, what I did learn about running a business is sometimes when you add, you know, some type of link or organization where people can donate money, then it's more invitable. Like, your business is more memorable and it's more invitable. So that was all. I would probably just contact them, like send them an email and say, hey, can I do this or can I do that? I don't have it actually organized right now, but that was all.
No, I really,
that was an idea.
I was going to say, no, I really appreciate that. We have had a few people do that. For people that do want to support either via a link, you can go to paypal.me/RBA Foundation, and that's a link that you can use if you did want to help. Or you can also email me at Reason, R-E-A-S-O-N, at RestoreBlackAmerica.org, and I can give you any information that you need. Thank you.
Okay, yeah, and then some I'll talk to you. Okay, that's another idea. But I just
You can feel free, yes. I understand that you don't have it together, yes, but my email address is wheelchairsagainstgunsnyc@gmail.com. And you can email me and I'll send you whatever you need. Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
All right, sister.
Thank you.
All right. You have anything else?
No.
All right. All right. So we are going to Sister Kokoya. Okay, thank you, Sister Liz. Okay, Brother Cujo. Hold on. Got you, brother. Brother Cujo. Hello, Brother Cujo? Hello? Brother Cujo. I don't know what's going on. Let me see something. Brother Cujo. All right. Brother Rossi, I don't know what's going on. We had another brother. He probably had something that he wanted to contribute. But
in the words.
Hello? Yeah, mic. Yeah, his mic isn't coming in. Wait, there you go. Brother Cujo. Hello? Maybe he's in a bad place. But I wanna let me summarize. Well, actually no, let me ask you this. The six tenets of your thing, the culture. What do you have in regards to a culture? Because I kind of came to the conclusion too that we're going to need a new black culture. We're going to have to need a new definition of what it means to be black, right? And me personally, I just think that it's going to have to be taught to the babies and not necessarily, the adults of this generation and our generation and things like that. What conclusion did you come to, or?
Yes, culture is a very interesting concept because, as you mentioned, we do really need a new culture because a lot of times, one of the things, and this is kind of what I outlined in the book, is that a lot of the destruction that we have, we're doing to ourselves. And what happens is because of some of the things we've been through, yes, some parts of our culture are destructive. So we want to go ahead and try to, again, sort of restore that image. So there's a couple of things. First and foremost, one of the things that I mentioned as far as that is having home study courses on black history because we cannot depend on the school system to teach our history for us, right? As they say,
right.
You know, that's his story and your story is a missed story. So
right.
We want to be able to do that to be able to instill a sense of pride in who we are as a people and what it truly means to be black. Because keep in mind what a lot of people think is blackness is really the stereotypical version of blackness that has been given to us by people who are not black. Okay, so we want to be able to instill it in our children and things of that nature, not only all the great things that we've done in this country, but also who we were before we were slaves. Because telling a group of people that your only history is that you were slaves is not very empowering. Okay, so if I can take you back before that and show you your entire lineage, it will create a sense of pride and we'll stop doing some of the things that we're doing. The other thing that I mentioned in the book, and this is also something that we offer through the Restore Black America Foundation, is having black art galleries. For those who don't know, my background is actually in marketing and advertising. Okay, so one of the things that you'll know is that billboards and commercials and all these things actually have a psychological effect on people. So one of the things that I always encourage most black families to do is get some black art. Get some black art showing a positive, strong black man or a positive, strong black woman or a positive, strong black family. Hang those pictures up around your house, and that you can essentially turn your house into your own version of Madison Avenue, therefore creating what I call positive propaganda. So now that your kids will actually grow up with black heroes as icons. Okay, in their own community.
Crazy. I love that idea. Positive imagery, exactly. I love that idea.
So, so that's a few of the things that I had in there. But
okay, hold on, Brother Cujo is back in the queue. Brother, hello, Brother Cujo. Brother, something's going on. All right, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. He's not able to. He's able to press star six and yeah, so text me the question, Brother Cujo, if anything. We got Brother Kareem. I can't hear you, so we're gonna go to Brother Kareem. Yes, Brother Kareem.
Now I just wanna say what I didn't catch your name, brother. What's your name again? I'm Restore Black America.
Rossi.
Rossi. Yeah, Rossi. Yeah, that's just beautiful because me and Brother Lou, we've uncovered a culture within our inner cities that needs to be reshaped and redesigned. And what you just said, brother, was just marvelous, man. And I just want you to know that, Jim. That's coming from me.
Thank you.
And I hope that we can keep you a part of it, brother, because we need brothers like you, you know, and brothers like Brother Lou and brothers like myself and brothers like everybody and brothers and sisters on the court. We need everybody, man. And the sister answered the question about the entrepreneur school, so I'm good.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. All right, Brother Rossi. Brother Cujo, he was in the queue, but he can't. What did you fix, brother? Fixed it already. All right, so press star. All right, Brother Cujo, press star six again. Press star six again if you have another question for the brother. If not, I'm going to summarize. Okay, there you go. He's in the queue. Hold on. Yes, brother.
Okay, can you hear me now?
There he is.
Yeah, we can. All right.
I apologize for that.
All right.
Yeah, but a couple of quick questions that I jotted down. Okay. I want to know what specifically does the school teach about business, and what are the tools that you use?
Okay, good question.
Also.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay.
No, go ahead.
Did you want to answer that, or should I continue to ask and then you'll address it?
You could ask the next question, and I could just address it all at once.
Okay, that's fine. Also, I was curious about what is your organization's target market? Who are you trying to reach with the information as far as who's going to go to the school? Is it a younger crowd, older crowd, or whatever specifics you can offer in that regard?
Okay, great. Also, no, I'll answer. Oh, you got more questions. Okay.
Yeah, I do apologize, man. It is a few of them. That's why I asked if you want to address
I'll address the first two, and then you can ask the remaining ones after that. How about that?
Okay, no problem.
To answer your other questions, yes. So, for example, our entrepreneur school is really mostly for adults. We do the youth camps for the youth, and that runs from ages 12 to 17. That's something that we typically do during the summer because, again, kids are obviously in school and stuff throughout the year. And as far as the entrepreneur school and in terms of what we teach, one of the things that we do is we take someone all the way from how to start a business all the way through every single step of it. So one thing that we do is that's a little bit different is that anything that we teach, we actually have you do in class. So we talk about computer design. We'll actually go through some actual websites. We talk about if we talk about legal structures, we actually go to the Secretary of State website. We kind of go through all of those things. And then that way, by the time somebody gets through with the actual school, they actually have a fully functioning business. Because, again, the problem that you find in our community is that a lot of black people don't have formal training. If you look at most other ethnic groups, they usually are entrepreneurs, so they raise their kids up in a business culture. The problem is a lot of times we don't have as many entrepreneurs in our culture as we should, so we have to create some sort of institution that can facilitate that and engineer that within our community. Did I answer both of those questions?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. I only got two more.
Sure.
How does or will the school support the student once they actually start up? Is there any continuing like education or support that the school offers for somebody that they've learned what you teach them and they have their startup. Do you guys offer support beyond that point?
Yes, we're actually putting together a team of enrollment counselors. And one of the things that the enrollment counselors will be doing, they'll actually aid as coaches and a support team for anybody who comes through any one of our programs. So that's actually a back-end program that we're putting together. The other thing is to answer your question in terms of what we do with individuals who come through the Entrepreneur School and even individuals that we don't. We actually provide services that allow people to, again, set up their business structure, get their EIN set up properly, set them up with merchant accounts, and we can even help people establish a business line of credit. Because remember, once again, if you really look at the idea of racism, racism is less about calling you a name, and it's more about keeping resources from certain groups of people so that those people remain weak and docile so the entire system can continue to feed off of them. So if you want to combat racism, you don't do it with a fist pump. You don't do it with a march. You do it by getting resources, and that's what we do at RBA.
I can't deny that. Sounds truly amazing. Okay. Now, for my last question, man, that I'm in awe right now, but I do want to ask you this last question.
Sure.
How will being an affiliate of the Black Wallets Matter organization, how would that work?
And when you say being affiliate, well, I guess I would need to know more about your affiliate program. Do you have something in place, or are you just asking what a general partnership would look like? I'm trying to get a better
understanding. Yeah, general partnership. Well, how if we were going to join the program as to where we would be able to direct people there, direct people to you, and of course, like a degree of cross promotion. Just how would we work together to make sure that people have that opportunity for the school, and of course, having that state of mind to contribute to the growth of the Black community in which this organization is set up for. Of course, yours is as well, but how will we work together? How will we set up a program to make these work together?
No, that's a really good question, because I'm all about cooperative economics and cooperative grouping. So a couple of things that we can do, I mean, again, it would be a conversation. I believe it should be an ongoing conversation as we continue to evolve. But one thing is always helping to promote through social media. Everybody has their own platforms, so on and so forth, myself included. So other organizations that have the same message, if we all promote that through our social media networks, we can get a tremendous amount of traction. The other thing is we also have an interview series coming out as well. So I would love to interview yourself and some of the members of the Black Wallets Matter organization, and that's another way of actually driving traffic. And if anybody wants to help, again, they can send people to the RestoreBlackAmerica.org website, and that has a listing of all of our programs. And, again, you can sign up as a member, and you can join groups, forums, and you can even add friends. Because, once again, just like, sort of like we're all trying to do here, we want to try to find a common ground where like-minded people can come together. So that's one of the things that we do. So, but, yeah, cross-promotion and, I believe, affiliate marketing from both angles will probably work out well. For all of us. So,
do you guys have an affiliate program?
We don't have an online affiliate program. I mean, keep in mind we are a nonprofit, so we don't necessarily have a affiliate program per se. Again, most of our people who, if you want to consider them quote unquote affiliates, that would usually rank for our enrollment counselors, as well as our chapter advisors, and we have chapters opening up in different areas as well. Also,
how large is your current constituency, and I'm basically because so the conversation in regards to how that would work, the two different organizations, I was actually sitting there thinking, but we had something that was brought to the floor about 2 weeks ago. So on our end, I understand how it would work. I was actually developing the affiliate program, basically breaking down the modules this week. But from your end, Like, how large is your group, you know, your reach and things like that?
Yes, between our meetup groups and our online network, we have just under about 3,000 people that follow our organization. And we're continuing to grow that nationwide. So, again, if it's a situation where we could work something out, you know, affiliate-wise, again, we have a considerable amount of people that we can, you know, promote to as well. And so and these are active individuals as well.
And so basically how it would work, so the more or less, so since you are a nonprofit, I guess you guys are always looking for ways to raise funds and things like that. So I guess it would, you know, we would be able to set you guys up with, you know, with your affiliate link, you would guys would be able to promote, and then obviously you would receive that commission. And, you know, I guess that would work like that, you know, that would be the cycle. But you will have, we'll, you know, we can have that conversation because I really like the, I really like what you're doing. It definitely aligns with our values. It sounds really similar, you know, so, you know, I don't know where some of the other things overlap, but we definitely, we're mainly focused on economics and politics. In regards of the culture, in regards to the culture, we believe that that's going to have to be something that is impressed upon the children, right? Because, you know, our experience, or, you know, my experience from years of reaching out to the Black community, they don't want to hear it, basically. You know, it's kind of hard to talk about positivity to people when, you know, they're suffering with whatever they're suffering from. And that Willie Lynch thing really kind of explains a lot of it, to be honest with you. It really does. So,
yeah, it definitely does. And, I mean, it's, you know, it is, you know, it can be challenging. But one thing I say, if it was easy, everyone would be doing it. In order for us to do what we do, you definitely have to have an undying love for Black people. Because one thing about dealing within our culture, when you understand the mental condition of our people, you know, a lot of times we do have to be patient with our individuals because you understand that they are suffering from a different consciousness a lot of times that was given to them. Right. So I do understand right. that. But, you know, yeah, I definitely think that our organizations are similar. And, you know, I'm not surprised that we're doing the same thing because, you know, great minds think alike. So, and that's what this is all about.
All right. Brother Cujo, you have anything else you would like to offer?
That was great. That was great.
All right. Thank you, Brother Cujo. All right, Brother Rossi. All right. So yeah. I am going to conclude that. Brother Rossi, man, I want to thank you for definitely coming on the call. You have been, you've provided some really good information. And, you know, like I said, you know, behind the scenes, man, I hope we're able to work and come up with something, some mutually beneficial type of arrangement, because we're definitely moving in the same direction. And I believe both organizations will be able to accomplish our goals faster working together, you know, especially since the quote-unquote conscious community or the amount of people that actually want to do something is, like, very small. So,
yes,
you know, so.
That is true. And if you don't mind, I'd like.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to add one more thing to the brother who did just ask a question in terms of promoting one another. If you guys look at, again, what you're doing with the Black Wallets Matter and what I'm doing with RBA, if you, in terms of social media, if there's something that you want to promote, you guys can go to YouTube and check out a video that I did called Why Black People Don't Have Any Money. I've actually passed this video around quite a bit and it has woken a lot of people up. So that may be a good starter if individuals want to use that. And it can also be used to even promote the Black Wallets Matter movement. Because again, it just really makes sense. And it talks about some of our economic value systems in terms of why we're more consumers instead of producers and getting us to look at things from a different perspective. So once again, I want to thank everyone for having me on the call. If you want more information, of course, you can go to restoreblackamerica.org, and please also subscribe to us on YouTube at the RBA Foundation, or you can just type in Restore Black America, and our Facebook is also RBA Foundation as well. So I do want to thank everyone for having me on the call.
Okay. All right, brother. And so I'm going to close off that segment. Sister Kokoya, is there anything you want to contribute in summary?
No, I'm just glad that great minds have came together, and you know, this all sounds very wonderful. I'm just hoping that we can actually, you know, get some things going and, you know, start thriving in our community. So thank you, Ravi.
All right. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, hold on. Let me switch this out. Okay. So I want to thank you. We are going to summarize. So we are going to summarize this meeting, this town hall. We're going to bring it to a close. But what I would like to do is I would like to get some feedback from our guests. I would like to get some feedback from our guests. So we have Sister Skinner. We have Sister Liz, Sister Reese. We had Brother William. He just came back on. We had a few other people on. And I want to just get some feedback from the guests in regards to how do they feel about this, you know, how they feel about what's going on, this town hall meeting, and if they would be, you know, and then also take the time to invite them to check out the website, check out the blueprint, and, you know, become a member. Join us and, you know, help us, you know, push this Black Wallets Matter movement a little bit further. You know, I just want to just, you know, give you an overview of exactly what it is that we, you know, that we are doing. So we are forming a membership association, which is, you know, not unlike a union. And we are pooling our resources, our membership dues. We are using them to buy existing businesses. We are using them to, so from the profits from the existing businesses, right? So one of the things that you heard on the call tonight, that a lot of times Black people, we don't know how to run businesses, or we don't know the game, or we won't do the research. But if we go and we buy existing businesses, all of that is laid out for us. If you've ever looked to go buy a business, you're usually, the owner will usually say, I will stay on to train and things like that. We had a brother that was on a few weeks back that was going to help us with with grants, right? Government grants and minority set asides for business and entrepreneurship, things like that. So we want to take advantage of those when we buy businesses. The profits from our businesses will be used to open community resource centers. So like the brother Razi said, we need a new culture. We understood this. We want to help our sisters. You know, I don't know if you guys are aware, but 78% of all the people in poverty, living at or below the poverty line in America, are single Black women. So we want to try to put a lot of our sisters to work with some of these businesses that we buy. So we're not talking about small businesses. We're talking about big manufacturing plants and supermarket chains and things like that, where we can put hundreds or even thousands to work. Community resource center. So while these sisters are at work, the youth have some place to go. They will be learning some of the nonviolent, some of the conflict resolution strategies and things that we teach through Wheelchairs Against Guns. That will become an integral part of what they will learn. The brother suggested art and positive imagery. That, sorry, brother, we're going to have to jack you on that because we didn't have that included, but that is an excellent idea. We were planning on teaching them about the history, but I didn't consider the positive imagery. So that definitely will be something we will implement. I hope we can work with the brother on that. But then the final thing that we're going to be focusing on is gaining our political influence and hiring lawyers and lobbyists to do something about this freaking police violence. This thing is out of control now. There has been a law on the books. It's called the Enforcement Act of 1870, and it was put on the books specifically to protect people of color from abuses with the from the law enforcement. This is a problem, and so we need to hire lawyers and lobbyists to revisit the Enforcement Act of 1870 and see what's going on and maybe reinvent. Well, there's actually an updated model to this law, and so that's what we need. We need to pay, you know, we're going to need to hire the right people to do these things. So for any brothers and sisters that are on the call, we would like to invite you to give some feedback on that, and like I said again, invite you guys to become, you know, members or anything like that. So if anyone wants to, so if any of the guests or anyone else wants to comment, just press *6. Is there anyone with a comment or question? Anyone that's a guest, someone who's this is the first time coming on a call, and they have any comments about what it is that we're doing or which direction we're headed in or anything like that? Okay, Brother William. Okay. Yes, Brother William.
Sorry, I got disconnected.
Okay.
I just heard last a little bit about the arts. I am an artist. I worked as an art therapist.
Okay.
I have a vocational degree in advertising design.
Okay.
So that's just kind of what I do. So if put my hand in it, if you need some help, I'll put it that way.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, thank you, brother. Well, I mean, how about this? You have any feedback from what you heard here tonight? So I know Sister Bonnie and Sister Barbara are your cousins.
Right.
They are believers and champions of this cause. So if you say anything crazy, I don't have to worry about it. I know they're going to get you.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll call me up in 2 hours after I hang up and talking about am I talking about. But, yeah, no, yeah. All of this is like right up my alley.
Okay, brother.
Yeah, we talk about this on our own, like,
all the time.
Every other week. So we calling each other back and forth about these very things and trying to get the family motivated and moving in this direction. So yeah, anything that I can do, and anybody that's gonna come with me, they know me. They know if they're gonna work with me, then they're gonna need to roll up their sleeves.
Okay, excellent, Brother William. All right, cool. All right, so I'm gonna leave it to Sister Bonnie and Sister Barbara to follow up with you in regards to that. I'm not worried about you, brother.
That'll work.
You're not gonna be able to get away. All right. So,
All right,
thanks,
man. Yeah.
Yep, no problem. All right, so we have Sister Liz, Brother Jay, and Sister Charmaine, and then we have Sister Reese and Sister Skinner in the queue. Sister Liz, you're up. Let me unmute your mic. Yes, Sister Liz. Hello?
Okay. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Sister.
Okay, so I was pressing the phone up against my ear, and I pushed the button, and I guess it hung me up. By accident, but what I did was I called the number back and I put in my little pin on the page, and I'm back on. So I disappeared for a second, but I just wanted to compliment you. And I'm really, really bad at names, and that's one of my weaknesses. That's going to be fun for me to work on, especially now I'm getting serious about having my own
business. Sister, you sound really muffled.
Oh, let me get over here. Sorry.
Yeah.
Can you hear me better now?
Okay, much better, yes.
Okay, so I just wanted to compliment you because this whole webinar was, or I guess it is a webinar, it was very organized and it wasn't all over the place and it was easy to understand. That's
okay.
That was it.
Okay, thank you. We appreciate that. And hey, let me know, if you were to say, I don't know, maybe 5 calls ago. So, but go ahead.
Oh, no, it was real organized because I guess I'm a type A personality, kind of. That means I'm very organized. It has to be this way or I'm like, forget it. But I usually do things real rapidly. But I listen, and sometimes, like if I like my sister says, if I sit still, sit quiet enough, I just take the information, even though it's already something I understand or that I've learned. There's others that need that information too, and it's okay if I listen to it because it's going to be something inside of the information that's given that I haven't heard before.
Right.
Yeah. So that was just, I'm just being emotional and just being on. But anyway, but you, great. And I want to connect and do some more of these calls and continue. So if you have any more, then I guess I can, I'm sure I can find them on Black Wallets Matter on your website, right?
Rep.org, yep. And check it out and it has, watch the blueprint. You'll see exactly everything that this organization is about, and you'll see how to, you know, become a member and things like that.
All right. All right. And that's it. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you. All right. So we have Brother Jay and Sister Charmaine, and then we have Sister Skinner in the queue. Okay. Hold on. Yes. Is this Brother Jay or Sister Charmaine?
Yes, this is Brother Jay.
Peace, brother. Peace. How you doing, brother?
Bless, man. Can you speak more about that law that you said something about earlier?
It's the law of 1870. So it's the Enforcement Act of 1870. Today it is Section 202 something something. And basically the law says that that law specifically said that people of color should be protected from law enforcement or any, you know, any kind of law enforcement or whatever, and we should not be abused, and anything that you do against them when they're unarmed and so on and so forth is a crime punishable by blah blah blah. So there was a cop, an officer, something happened in Atlanta years ago. You know, I'm going back, like, you know, like in the 1900 something something. So there was this black guy. He was arrested by this officer. They beat him, a sheriff. He was beat on his way into the precinct. Later on, he died from his wounds, and they prosecuted him and they locked him up. And then they locked him up under this law. But what he did was he used his political power, and they changed like the intention or something of the law, and he was able to come out on appeal and then eventually get it overturned. But then the law was updated and upgraded, you know, going forward in the future, I guess, when they changed the way that they call the laws or the way that they categorize them. And But we have not had enough people or lawyers or whatever it is to go back, revisit these laws and implement them. Now, other organizations or other ethnic groups have been able to do these things. They take the laws that are on the books for us, and they are able to use them to protect and defend their people. And so that's one of the main things that we have to do. We have to get these lawyers and lobbyists, you know, we have to get our lawyers and lobbyists to go revisit the books, that the laws that are already on the books, and enforce them, and maybe introduce things and revise things, especially with what we have going on. So
okay.
does that summarize?
Yes, it does.
All right, brother. Okay.
Thank you.
Yep. Peace. Sister Skinner. Sister Skinner.
Yes.
Yes, sister.
Wow. I really don't have a question. I'm just in awe of everything I've heard today.
Okay.
I did not know that there were that many resources out there for us.
Right.
I'm a black business owner,
okay.
And I don't have black clients, but it hurt my feelings when I was getting started and I was, you know, looking for coaches to kind of help me, you know, to target markets, all this kind of stuff. And I had a white woman tell me, if I wanted to make it in my business, I needed to leave us alone. And that kind of hurt my feelings because I was targeting my own. But I was getting no support. She said, I'm sorry to tell you, but if you want to make it and you want to make money and you want your business to grow, you better leave y'all alone because they ain't trying to support you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this can't be true. It can't be, but my husband constantly tells me it is true because you're not getting any support from them. And I'm like, nah, it's got to be something I'm not knowing or not doing. And it's just like, it's just got me baffled.
Yeah, unfortunately, sister, it is. So with the brother, so when he mentioned that Willie Lynch
you mentioned that Willie Lynch story. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm probably going to paste it on the site. So sometimes I post these things, you know, a lot of I get a lot of negative feedback, but I know what it is. Our brothers and sisters, they reject what it is. Mm-hmm. But to be honest with you, he explains. He says that once they set this motion, once they set us on this course, on he reads an axis and something else. He said, we're going to compete, we're going to envy, we're going to hate for little differences. So you could have, you know, I don't know what kind of business you have, but you could have people who won't support you just because you're a sister. They'd be like, who does she think she is to have this kind of business? I'm being honest.
Yeah, well, you get that regard, especially amongst females. But I actually have, especially our own, will call me and say, do you have anything that I can use to get rid of this, to do this and to do that? Yes, I do. Okay, well, what can I use? And I'll tell them what I have, and they'll say, ooh, oh, okay. Yeah, I don't want to pay that, but because I go to the dollar store and I can get three or four of them for a dollar, so I'm going to go back over there. So let me get this straight. The stuff you're using is screwing you up. But you're going to go back over there and get some more.
Right.
But you're going to call me and ask me how to get rid of what you're screwing up for you to go back next time you get paid and get some more. I don't get this.
Yes, right. Sister. It is.
And, you know,
we have a Las Vegas here.
I haven't seen a black business, not a black-owned business in Las Vegas.
Really? Not one? Not even a barbershop? It gotta be a barbershop.
You know what? I thought the same thing, and my cousin came here and opened up a barbershop, but it's not even in Las Vegas. It's in Bullhead City or somewhere like that. And a girl came here and started a makeup line. I haven't heard any more about her. I heard about her one time, and that was it.
Well, like I said, and as was mentioned during the day, right? So during this call. So just because, you know, I'm not casting dispersions on a sister or anything, but I'm just saying, so just because she started the line doesn't necessarily mean she knew what she was doing, right?
Well,
there's a lot of place to
patronize, and the one that I did, which was black-owned, they were from Africa, I told them I would never come back in there again because how I was treated. I'm asking questions like, just read the thing. You know, and her attitude was very bad, and the men that were standing out in the front were more interested in looking at a lady than they were, I'm coming in here to buy something. I'm trying to support you. And I was treated so bad, and I told the men, they were saying, well, you didn't find anything that you like? I said, I found a lot of stuff that I use on a daily basis. But that woman right there, and they said, well, which one? I said, the real pretty one. I said, her attitude's nasty as hell.
Yeah.
I said, I will never buy anything from here. I said, you do good if I come in here.
We have a lot of hang-ups, a lot of problems.
Yeah, I think they end up closing down now. Because I drove by there and they're never open, so.
Right.
But it's a shame. It's a shame because, I mean, this doesn't have to be. And I heard someone earlier say something about we got to think outside of the box and, you know, we have to put on a smile, in other words, be phony. And I think customer service, you shouldn't have to be phony. It should be automatic. You're running a business, you should know you need to have customer service. It shouldn't be phony. It should be who you are.
Right. Genuinely want to help. Yep, exactly.
Yeah, I don't want to be phony. If you come in my business and you spend $10, I'm going to treat you just as good as somebody spending $10.
Right.
Because I want you to come back too.
Right, I agree. I'm wholeheartedly, sister. Do you have any other feedback about anything that you heard here today? Do you have any questions about what do you think? You know, what you think
about the one about the what was he talking about? All I remember was the initials RDA. As far as getting like your, because I have a TIN number, but I want to get a new one because of the prior business that I had. I just want to separate everything, you know, and just, like, change everything. name and everything. LLC, I want to do all of that.
Right. Okay, well, the Brother Rossi, he could speak to that.
Okay.
And so you could go to the RBA. He gave his contact information.
Mm-hmm.
He could help you out in regards to that, I'm sure.
Okay. Okay, good.
All right.
Yeah. But this is my first time being on the call, but I will definitely be on them, and I've been inviting people.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, so, sister, like I said, check out the site, watch the blueprint, and then, we hope you become a member. We want to invite you to become because that's like one of the main things. We put these things on, we do this, but the bottom line is like we have to start moving forward, and we need, the only way we're going to be able to do it is to have our brothers and sisters actually supporting what it is that we're doing.
We need to take action. I went to a seminar one time, and they asked everybody, who would like this tape? And everybody raised their hand. He said, I'll ask you again, who would like this tape? And one man jumped up and grabbed it out of his hand. He said, that's the difference.
Right.
Someone took action. Yeah, everybody else wanted it, but someone took action and got it.
Right.
And that stuck with me.
Excellent. Okay. So if there's no one else in the queue, Sister Bisa, what are you doing? I saw you. You came and then you left. And you too, Sister Reese. Jump back in the queue and provide feedback on this call, if you will, please. Sister Skinner, do you have anything else you want to add in summary?
No, that's about it.
All right. Thank you, Sister. I appreciate it. And, yes, we hope that you join us on more calls. We have them every Thursday at 9 p.m. We actually need to do some on the weekends because some people, they can't make it. But we have
that. That is
true. I'll send out an email or something like that. All right,
okay.
Sister. Thank you so much.
All righty.
All right. So there's no one else in the queue. So since you guys don't want to get in the queue, Sister Reese, your mic is unmuted. Feedback, Sister. Sister Reese? Hello? Okay, Sister Bisa? Sister Bisa?
Yes, sir.
How you doing, Sister? Okay. Yes, okay, so there you guys go. I asked for you guys to jump in the queue, and you guys did not, until now I have unmuted your mics. So, Sister Reese, please, Sister Bisa, you've been on a few calls, so I know you're moved, and we understand, what you're going on. So I just wanted to get feedback from you, because last week you weren't able to comment. But real quick, Sister Reese, this is her first time, so I want to know, I want to get some ideas or something from her. Sister Reese?
Hello?
Yes.
Yes. Hi. I just wanted, because I didn't have a pen before, so I just wanted to get the website again so I can write them down, so I can share them, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so it's blackwalletsmatter.org.
Uh-huh.
All right. And you can look at the site. If you click at the menu button there, well, actually, you can read, what we're about and from there. But do you have anything to comment on about this particular call, in particular?
I love the information. I really love the idea of like-minded individuals coming together, because we really need to do so. And I do like the idea of starting with the children, because like as we've heard, what different people mentioning, sometimes it's harder to reach the adults. People tend to be set in their ways, and a lot of times it has to do with egos being involved, or people say they're for it, but if it's, not for their own agenda first, they won't rock with it. So, we have to reach the kids. So, and that's coming from a single mother of a, trying to help raise a young man. So it's important.
Excellent, Sister. Thank you for that feedback. Sister
Bisa? But what was the other website, too?
There was
the other website.
So there was blackwalletsmatter.org. There was wheelchairsagainstguns.org.
Say it again.
Wheelchairs Against Guns. Yes. Right, okay. wheelchairsagainstguns.org. Brother Rossi.
Yes, that was also restoreblackamerica.org. And that's restoreblackamerica.org.
Yes, I got that. Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, Sister Bisa?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Sister, you have anything you want to say? You jumped in a queue and then you jumped out.
I don't know. I believe, you know, this program, I believe in you. You know I do.
Right.
So, you know, everything that was said tonight was very informative, and I feel a push and a step forward. I'm still, you know, what I said last time, secretly recruiting people. So I'm still trying to get people involved. So
okay.
In Georgia. So I'm pushing for you. I really am.
Right. Thank you.
So thank you very much, everyone.
Yep, no problem. Okay, so that concludes this. All right, everyone is unmuted. All right, everyone, so that is going to conclude this particular town hall meeting. I'm going to stop recording shortly. If anyone has any last questions or comments or anything that they want to talk about, if there's any topics that we didn't discuss and you guys want to, you know, communicate amongst yourselves and or, you know, if you want to stay on a little bit longer, we can do that. But this formally ends this call. So I'm going to stop. Yep.